The shaila of a person travels on a tainus, exactly what he does, when his tainus ends, when the tainus starts. The shaila comes, we get the star K. Sometimes from mashgichim, I think Rabbi Yoel Weinberger, our mashgich, used to fly from L.A. to the Far East, and I was in India, would have the shaila, Sarvatavis, and other times, and the question obviously came up, exactly what happens if you cross the date line, what happens if you change time zones, how do you cheshbon the fast? Do you go by where you started from? Do you go by where you land? Do you go by where you are? How do you define what to do? And this shaila, since those days many years ago, when he would ask, the shaila now comes up more often because more people are traveling. Before every tainus, there are people, except Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur seems to be the only tainus left that nobody's traveling. Even Tisha B'Av, as we'll see, we'll talk about Tisha B'Av, maybe a little bit less Tisha B'Av, but other tanesim, even Asar B'Teves, which is in the winter, especially if a fast is on a Sunday. Sunday is a busier travel day, people are going. Sometimes it's harder to avoid, people have to be somewhere for a weekend. And this question comes up, which really two parts of the shir, is one, a regular traveling, that's number one, and number two, what happens when you cross the international date line and you run into a whole new set of shilas about whether you repeat a day, you skip a day, what happens? So in order to understand this, we first have to talk about the general halacha of flying as far as other halachas. Just a regular flight, a person boards a plane and they go, and now as is yodu, as is known, when you fly east, so the time goes quicker. For example, if you take off from Los Angeles and you fly to JFK, there's a flight, for example, flight leaves at 10:10 in the morning and it lands at 6:35 p.m. on United Airlines. The whole flight is about 5 hours, yet the flight takes off roughly at 10 o'clock in the morning and you land at 6:30. Now, if you look on the clock, 10 a.m. to 6:30 is more like 8.5 hours, but you're not flying for 8.5 hours because, as is known, the time in New York is 3 hours later than the time in Los Angeles. So therefore, you end up turning your clock ahead 3 hours, and by the time you land, it's 6:30, so the time runs much quicker. It runs, we'll say, more rapid. And therefore, the sun will come up and set much quicker. What's really happening, putting the clock aside, is really you are of course, the Earth is spinning on its axis. So if you're standing in one position, you watch the sun rise in the east and set in the west. But if you're flying east, then you're rushing, you're helping that spin, and now you're going to a place further east, and therefore the sun is going to set much, much quicker. A very good example, just to illustrate this. So what do you do? What's the halacha as far as davening? A good example of this is a flight that goes from Los Angeles to Eretz Yisrael. And that flight's a non-stop flight on El Al. It leaves at 1 p.m., and it sets at 1:20 p.m. So really thinking about it, if you want to just pull out your, if you have an old-fashioned watch, which doesn't have an old-fashioned watch which doesn't have the date on it, all you got to do is just stop your watch for the entire flight. You take off, it's supposed to leave at 1, so by the time you're airborne, it's 1:20, and just pull out the time, and when you land, just put it back in, it's 1:20. It's just 1:20 the next day. Now that flight is only about 14 hours, but yet your watch goes 24 hours. You took off at 1 o'clock and you land at 1 o'clock, 1 to 1:20. So what's halacha? What do you do about davening? So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva, in Igros Moshe, Chelek Gimel Arachayim, Simen Tzadi Vav, says at the end of the Tshuva, U'le'inyat tvila kishanotzam im kaimai balayla, tekev kishayaskel lohoyer, av sha'over rakzman mu'et, who yoimetzloy? If you are traveling from one place to the other at night, so as soon as there's light, even though not a whole lot of time has passed in this case, where you took off from LA at 1 o'clock, okay, so 1 o'clock plane takes off, you daven mincha. A few hours later, let's say it's in the fall, so to avoid, you have other issues which we're not going to get into, but that LA Tel Aviv flight in the summer is very difficult because you go so far north, the sun may never set. You may not have a night. But we're not going to get into that. We'll maybe touch on it a drop. But otherwise, we're not going to get into that. But let's say it's the fall. So wherever you are, basically, it's a 12-hour day. You take off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. A few hours later, the sun goes down. Sakra Maisha Damarev. A few hours later, in the fall, the night is 12 hours long, but not when you're on this flight, because you're going east. So when the sun went down, you were flying, and I'm not clear exactly where you are, but let's say you were flying over, at that point, Montreal. And then the plane continues to travel, and now, somewhere over London, all of a sudden the sun rises. So it's only a few hours later. And then, a few hours later, it's ready to Zman Mincha. Zakra Maisha, you go by where you are. In other words, you are now, the sun is now up, it's now Yoim. The sun went down, it's now Laila. And therefore he warns, V'chejman ha-gimel sholos l'zman kriyishma, v'dalet sholos l'zman tefila, l'shayich eslai, ki nidin l'mala b'airplane. Eichu oz, ba'ayse mokon, shom l'mata, shemishtan ez ha-zman kotzer. What Ramesh is saying is, you have to be careful with the Zman Kriya Shema and the Zman Tefillah. Because everybody knows, if you're standing right here in Baltimore, Maryland, so tomorrow you're going to have 3 hours from sunrise until the Say Zman Kriya Shema to say Shema. You have even longer than that, because it's so Zmanius, in the summer it's longer, okay, in the winter it'll be a little bit shorter. But whatever that time is, you're stationary, you're going to have that amount of time. So Ramesh, if you're on a plane and you're flying east, and the sun comes up, you don't have three, let's say in the fall when we're at home and you're stationary, you have 3 hours to say Shema. You don't have that on the plane because you're traveling east. So you're in a location further over where the Zman Kriya Shema is going to happen much quicker. So you have to be careful to daven right away. You don't want to wait around because you don't have the 3 hours you normally have. The Zman Kriya Shema may come after 2 hours or whatever the cheshbon is, it's going to be much quicker. And therefore a person has to be careful. But for a Maisha, you see that it goes by where you are. Now, Agav, the place can speak about, which is also a really a side topic, and that is when you calculate these manim, do you calculate them in the air or do you calculate them on the ground? Which is could be a nafkamina of maybe even a half hour, meaning when you're higher up and you're 37,000 feet above sea level, so then the sun is going to come up earlier than if you're on the ground. So you're flying over Montreal and you're 37,000 feet up, and it's 6 a.m., let's talk about this flight from L.A., and now you're, let's say you're over London and the sun is rising. Well, that's the sun is rising because you're way up, so you get a better view of the horizon. You're in a much higher vantage point, and therefore you're able to see the sun come up, and therefore the sun is going to come up earlier than it is on the ground. The consensus of the Paiskim seem to be that when you're artificially high up, namely you're either in a building or you're on an airplane, you actually go by the ground below you. But that's also a side topic, and that's less of a nafkamina than what we're talking about. We're talking about you took off from LA at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and now you're flying over London and the sun is rising at 6 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles. The time is 8 hours, is going to be 8 hours earlier. So it's 6 a.m. over London, but it's 10 p.m. in L.A. They're davening Maariv. And you davened Mincha when you took off, and they were davening Mincha. And now you fly, and you daven Maariv over Montreal, you daven Shachris over London, when in L.A. they're just getting to Maariv, because it's 10 o'clock at night. So if you're Maish, you go by where you are, not by the original location and not by the end location. In other words, don't say that, well, I took off from L.A., so that's my mukam, right? There's a tzad to say, it's my mukam is L.A. until I come to another yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, so maybe I go by L.A.'s manim. So Kermesh, you can't do that. You can't get down Myriv when the sun is coming up over London, saying in Los Angeles, it's night, so I can daven Myriv. Still, the sun is up. If the sun is up, it's time for Shachris. If the sun is down, it's time for Myriv. If it's afternoon, then it's the Zman HaMincha, and therefore, that's how you go. Now,
similar to this, and more common, if you start a time here in Baltimore, and you go to Lakewood, they end about 11, 12 minutes earlier.
Correct, and in the Hanami, you'll change, right, exactly. I mean, when you're on the ground, it's a little bit easier, right, when you're on the ground, but it's true, you go from here to Lakewood, it's not that much of a difference, but you'll have a few minutes, and yes, you have to, one actually has to be careful. If they're doing that, for example, if someone went Erev Tisha B'Av, it's a weekday, and they're driving, right? And for whatever reason, they had an important reason to go, and they're driving and say, oh, the time begins at, whatever, let's say 8:25. Well, if you're going northeast, you're going eastbound, by the time you get to Philadelphia, the Tynus may begin a few minutes earlier. So one has to be, even in a metropolitan area, you go from here to Annapolis, right? Which is could be another 2 minutes early. So you always have to be, very careful anytime you're traveling. Now, when you go west, it's a little bit quieter as far as davening because the opposite is happening. When you're traveling west, so now you're following the rotation. Meaning, if you took off, let's say, at 1 o'clock in the morning, the famous El Al flight, you take off 1 o'clock in the morning from Eretz Yisrael, and let's say, in one case, you land in JFK, at let's say 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, whatever it is. So you've flown for a very long time, but it's been one long night that you flew. And therefore, even though Eretz Yisrael, by the time you land, they're already basically davening mincha already, but it doesn't matter. It's still dark outside, and therefore you're not going to daven. You'll land in JFK, and you'll go daven. In fact, it could come out an interesting case. A person could go beheter very easy with one flight. He could go 24 hours without davening anything, and he's done nothing wrong. In fact, he's done lechatchila. You could go on, there's a flight from Tel Aviv to Los Angeles that leaves at 1 a.m., and it lands in L.A. at 6:10 in the morning. Very simple case. You take that flight in the winter. I'm not sure exactly what time it leaves in the winter, but it's give or take this time. You go daven in Yerushalayim, your last day in Yerushalayim, Yechaparayim and Mairiv in Yerushalayim, Zichron Moshe, right? You go, you catch the Mairiv there at 5 o'clock, 5:15, 5:30, whatever it is. Let's say you catch 5 o'clock, one of the early Mairivs, Yidam Mairiv, you head out to the airport. You get on the 1 a.m. flight to L.A., you land at 6:10 a.m. in Los Angeles. And then you go daven shacharis in L.A. You go daven at 8 a.m. Well, you have gone 24 hours without davening anything. Because, think about it, you daven Mairiv at 5 p.m. When it's 5 p.m. in Yerushalayim, when you're davening Mairiv in Los Angeles, it's 10 hours back. So it's 7, let's say it's Tuesday. You've had a Tuesday night. Tuesday night you daven Mairiv. It's Tuesday morning in Los Angeles. It's 7 a.m. Tuesday morning. Now you go to the airport. Okay, it's dark. I don't know if daven. I daven Mairiv already in the Zichron Moshe. Now I go to on the plane. The plane, the entire flight is dark until maybe the very end. 6:10 a.m. You land in Los Angeles. The sun is just coming up. Or even in winter time, it's barely coming up. It's dawn. Oh, higias man kriyish meshal shachris. It's now time to daven shachris. So you go through customs. You go home. You freshen up a little bit. You go daven 8 o'clock in the morning. It's been 8 o'clock Wednesday morning. It's been over 24 hours since you daven anything. And Zakhar Maisha, that's how you do it. You daven shemaru and then you daven shachris. So when you go west, it's easier in a sense because When you're flying west, it's you're going to daven less because you're basically staying in the proper zman. Now, Agav, there are two wonderful websites. I have a shaykhis with the people who do it. The Chai Tables and Maizmanim are both wonderful websites that will peg the routes of exactly based on previous flights. They calculate exactly how the flights are going. There's even some where you can actually calculate as you're going. And it's very sophisticated programming to make those cheshbonos. Now, it's difficult to be perfect if you do it in advance because at the end of the day, you don't know exactly every day. There's a bit of a different flight pattern, so you don't know exactly how it's going, and therefore you don't want to go exactly this amount. But basically, you're going to get a range. My smile will give you a range. High tables gives you the ability on in the flight to do it, but you have a basic understanding of about when it's going to happen. And then you could also look out the window for when is the sun actually up. The sun is supposed to be up now. But watch out on a dreamliner. You don't want to look out on a dreamliner. A Rav in Australia told me that he looked out the window on the dreamliner plane and he said, he made cheshbonos. It didn't seem like it's supposed to be time for shachris, but for mincha, or whatever. He was davening the day. But he saw a moon. He saw this beautiful moon outside. So, oh, he must be Mairiv. But the cheshbonos didn't work out exactly, but there's the moon. And he davened Mairiv, and he went over to the flight attendant after. He says, I saw the moon, but it was just interesting to see that. So the flight attendant said, that was the moon, that was the sun. On the Dreamliner, they darken it so you could sleep. so you could sleep better. You were looking at the sun through glass, which was darkened. So you got to know the plane you're on. You got to know the windows on the plane before you look out the window. Looking out the window should only be used in conjunction with having an understanding of what the right time is supposed to be. Al kapanim, that is the din by davening. So now, what happens by a tainus? So by a tainus, first of all, we'll just say up front two disclaimers at the beginning. Number one is l'chadchilu, you don't want to fly on a tainus. That's number one, and that's pashut, because even if you get to fly east and your tainus is shortened, but it's not kishmak, because anybody that's flown knows that you're dry on the plane. That's why they serve drinks. You want to drink something, and it's difficult to fast. So you don't want to put yourself in a situation to be a chayla, which is the second disclaimer. And that is obviously if a person finds themselves on a plane, in particular, and they're flying west where the flight's going to be longer, as we'll see in a moment. And they're a chayla, then a chayla is allowed to eat. On Yom Kippur, when you're not flying, you have to be a chayla mesukin. Tisha B'Av, even a chayla, the halacha is allowed to eat. So again, someone that's flying, it's very difficult, and they're sick, and they're nauseous, and dizzy, etc. Whatever your rav paskins that you're considered as a chayla, then obviously you can eat. We're only going to talk about now, the beginning and the end of the fast, assuming you feel up to it, you feel good, and you're not a chayla. Once you become a chayla, as we'll see, we can talk about a flight soon, where anybody that makes this flight could get in the book of world records, as we'll see, with some of these potential flights. So Ramesh addresses the issue of tainus in the very same tshuva. In Archaim, Chel Gimel, Simit Tzadivav, Uvedover Shabbos. He speaks about Shabbos, flying there. It's not Senegeia, but we, as far as that's concerned, this is discussions with the dateline, which we're not going to get into, whether you could go on Shabbos. But he says, Uvedover Shine Hayoim, and on an airplane, you end up far off places. You have longer days and shorter days. So what happens? He says, "L'inyan tainus misana bein l'kula bein l'chumra atzei sekechavim." So b'makom shenim sa'oz. Zakra Moshe, you go by. We're talking about a regular flight, not over the dateline. You go on a plane bein l'kula bein l'chumra. What does Moshe mean? If you're flying east, you're going to get the kula, because if you go east, the hours are going quicker. You're technically turning your clock ahead faster. The day is going to be shorter. Let's talk about that LA to JFK flight. Leaves 10 in the morning. You land at 6 o'clock at night. Let's say it's Tzayim Gedalia, for example. So Tzayim Gedalia comes 8 o'clock. By the time you get to, you make it to Shul, maybe for Mincha. And now the fast is over at 8 o'clock at night. Even though in LA, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's where you started your fast. You did not have Shlemus of the time. It doesn't matter. It says the fast is over. Beil Chumra, if you decided to take the flight going westbound, where you took off on a westbound flight, and now your flight is going to be much longer, so now you're going to have a Chumra, because you're going on a flight which is taking you in a direction that's going to cause the day to be much longer. So in Azah Oifin, in such a flight, for example, where you're going on a flight that takes off at, there's a flight at 6, that lands at 9, if you're going from New York. If you're going from New York to LA, you're losing hours. So now you can take off 6 o'clock in the morning. So before you board the plane, let's say it's Tzayim Gedalia, you get to the airport early, you quickly eat, and now you board the plane, you land at 9 o'clock in the morning in LA. You've just flown a very long time, and your watch says it's already showing 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, but no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles. So now your tainus is going to be 3 hours longer. Zakra Maisha L'chumra. You got to wait till Seisek HaKavim. Comes 5 p.m., again, Tzayim Gedalia, where the fast ends at, let's say, 7 to 8 o'clock. Comes 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You're talking to your friend in New York, he's the one that drove you to the airport. He's eating. And you say, oh, if only I stayed in New York. If you stayed in New York, you're right. You'd be eating also. Zakra Maisha, Bei L'chumra, you were machmir that you have to fast until the later hour. Ramesha continues, and he says, V'av shel pa'amim, who shows mu'atim, even though it's shorter, Yishum shalei nikfat tainis al shows, Ella al yoyim shu'an seizei chavim. The tainis doesn't go by hours. The Tainus goes by Tzeisekachavim. The biggest raya to this is that we see Tainus Shavas B'Tammuz is a longer fast. Asar B'Tavis is a shorter fast because it's the winter time, so the days are shorter. That's the pshat. It goes by Tzeisekachavim. It doesn't go. We'll see Gemara soon about this, but it doesn't go by hours. And therefore, Tainus Esther, Tainus Gedalia is going to be average. Tainus Esther is going to be average. They fall out by the equinoxes. Asar B'Teves is going to be shorter. You go to Australia for Asar B'Teves, then it's going to be a much longer fast. And if you go Shavuos B'Tammuz, then it's going to be a much shorter fast. I was able to see, to share grandchildren with Pesach Kron. So Zagazutenstadt. My grandchildren are his great grandchildren, and we went to pick up our grandchildren from his home. My son and daughter had a girl, Baruch Hashem, and they were. We went to pick them. We went there, and then we went to pick up our grandchildren. And he told me he's going to South Africa for Tisha B'Av. So I said, "Oh, I'm a Kana." I thought, "I'm a Kana you. You're going to be Tisha B'Av in South Africa." Okay, the fast is going to start earlier, right? That's why they bring him out to speak. He'll speak at the Tisha B'Av night. But the next day, in South Africa, it's going to end. I didn't check the time, but it's like Asar B'Teves. It's going to be over by, 6 o'clock, whatever Asar B'Teves ends. So 6 p.m., we're still schwitzen at 6 p.m. It's still, we got a long way to go, because in the southern hemisphere, Shavuos B'Tammuz ends much earlier, and Tisha B'Av starts and ends much earlier. So it doesn't go, and Asar B'Teves is fakir. The other story I have is today someone just sent me an email, perfect timing. Someone sent me an email. There's a cruise, a kosher cruise. I don't know anything about the kashrus of it, but is a kosher cruise going to Antarctica? Okay. Going to Antarctica. And oh, Gavaldi, Siental, Shilas of Shabbos and so on. They're not going far enough into Antarctica. There will be a sunrise and a sunset. But I look to see frequently asked questions. One of the questions was, why are you going to Antarctica for Asar B'Teves? That was a question. And I have the same question. If all the times you want to go to Antarctica, that's the southern hemisphere. Go to Antarctica, Shavuos B'Tammuz, then you have a short fast. It's a short day. What are you going to Asar B'Teves? They're going Chanukah and Asar B'Teves. That was one of the frequently asked questions. The answer is only time for the cruise, only time for the kosher cruise. Whatever the deal was, you don't want to go to Antarctica for Asar B'Teves, because literally it's going to be a 24 hours fast. I think it's midnight to midnight, based on the way Aleis HaShachar works, and Seis HaKachavim works, which is really Chatzai Chalayla. So that's going to be a long Asar B'Teves. Al-Kopanim, Ramesha says it doesn't go by the hours. Now, one more point Ramesha says. V'chein b'tayne shel Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, af im yizdamein, shamaskelis tanisai ad hagmar lo yiyah, chavdalit shows, nami ein tzarech lisanis, yoysim yiseisik hachavim, shal or lasiri. So, Ramosha, even though your fast is going to be a shorter fast, because you flew from L.A. to JFK, or better yet, you flew from Matzei Shabbos, so it's hard to catch a flight. But let's say a person boarded a plane. Tisha B'Av was on a regular day, was on a Tuesday, and Monday night you get on a plane. It's Leil Tisha B'Av. Let's assume it was some major illness that you had to be somewhere, and there was absolutely no brera. Let's say someone was ill or something, and you pushed it, had no option, but you had to take this Tisha B'Av flight, and you go to the airport, and you're in Dulles Airport. At Tisha B'Av, Leil Tisha B'Av, Mamash B'Shas Eicha, and you get on the plane and you fly to Europe, you're going to have 5 hours shorter of the plane of the Tisha B'Av. You're going to get to Europe 6 hours shorter. You're going to land there 5 hours, 4 hours, whatever the cheshbon is. It's 6 hours later Europe, but the taste comes a little bit later there. So let's say it's 5 hours. You're going to have a 5 hour shorter flight. You only fasted 19 hours of Tisha B'Av. Mach Nitzayis, doesn't matter. The halacha is you go by where you are, and you go by the time of the Tzeis HaKachavim.
Someone had to eat, right? Pesach Sukkot, for example. Does he have to embark from the plane to be able to eat? Would being heat of the plant itself, it would be four times.
No, it was when it's dark. It was dark on the ground below you, you could eat. Whatever the cheshbon is, right? As we said, you go by the ground below you when it's right. But that's not such a big nafkamina. Again, the bigger nafkamina is that you're flying over Europe, and in America it's still mitten tug, right? And you're ready to break your fast. The same would be l'chumra if a person had to go from Eretz Yisrael and they boarded the 1 a.m. flight and they landed in L.A. 6 o'clock in the morning. That's an unbelievable long Tisha B'Av, because you can end up, normally Tisha B'Av is 25 hours, but you flew at 1 a.m. noch echa, and you landed in L.A. in time for Kinnis. And in between, you had this 14-hour, whatever the flight is. You're going to have a 1 to 6 a.m., that's 5 hours, and it's going to be a 10-hour difference, a 14, 15-hour flight. You're going to end up fasting. Instead of 25 hours, your tinnis is going to be 35 hours, 34 hours, 35 hours, because of the longer fast. Now, Agav, before we get to the next part of the sugya, there's actually, I made a cheshbon that a person can fast for 48 hours. This is the world's record of a possible tinnus. And that is, we could take, I don't know why anyone would want to do this. It's an inconvenient flight, but it can be done. You can actually end up fasting for 48 hours. If you took off on Motzei Shabbos, Tisha B'Av, this Motzei Shabbos, in Seoul, South Korea, let's say, face, you were an important aide in some of the talks going on, and you need to be in a Dover Nachas, right? You have to be there at Dachuk. Now, Shki is at 7:49 p.m. 7:49 p.m. on Motzei Shabbos. Okay, so it's still Shabbos, but now the time begins. You have to start fasting. When that fast begins at 7:49 p.m. on Motzei Shabbos, the time in Alaska, keep that in mind, is many hours behind. It's actually 2:49 a.m. Shabbos morning in Alaska. It's Friday night, right? It's Friday night in Alaska. It's 2:49 in the morning. You fly from Seoul to Beijing. There's such flights. You get to Beijing, and there's a flight that takes off 11:55 p.m. It lands in Beijing at 1:05 in the morning, Tisha B'Av night. Then you go Beijing to Frankfurt. Takes off 2:30 in the morning. You get to Frankfurt. Then you go Frankfurt to Anchorage. At 3:15 Sunday afternoon, you land Sunday afternoon in Anchorage, and finally you board a plane at 4:25 in the afternoon on Alaska Airlines, and you land in Nome, Alaska, which is on the western end of Alaska. Let's assume it's the American side of the dateline. We're not going to get into those shilas. You land at 7:32 p.m. in Nome, Alaska. The tinnus ends in Nome. It's below the Arctic Circle. The sun does go down. But based on the light there, the tinnus ends at 3:06 a.m. on Sunday night. So now remember, I told you, you began the fast, it was 2:49 a.m. in Alaska on Friday night. Your fast ends Sunday night at 3:06 a.m. You fasted over 48 hours because you flew from South Korea to Alaska in the westbound direction. And therefore the halacha is, one needs to fast the entire time. Now, Ramosha is, again, he's not a chayla. Now, there are opposing opinions. I want to mention, in the Mikrei Kodesh, as well as the Shevet Alevi, there's a svara that's brought from the Sefer Eshkol, the Nachal Eshkol. And he says like this. It's a fascinating svara. Again, it's not the Lemaisa, but it's a fascinating svara. And they borrow a svara that's used by cities in the Arctic region. And that is, in Sefer Eshkol, says like this. There was a Rav in Stockholm. In Stockholm, Sweden is very far north. It's actually about as far north as Anchorage, Alaska. What happens there, the further north you get, the longer the days. So forget about traveling now. You're in Stockholm for Shavuos Matamos. And the Shkia is very late. Let's use Anchorage, Alaska, for example. If you're in Anchorage, Alaska, Shavuos Matamos, the Shkia in Anchorage is at 11:45. Billy Guzman, that's a little bit earlier already. By now, we're already into July. It's a little bit earlier. Shavuos Matamos, that occurs in late June, like it did this year, the Shkia is 11:30, 11:45 at night. The tinnus ends in Anchorage at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because again, that's the way it is in the time zone. What is it? You got to wait till it gets as dark as possible. It never gets dark in Anchorage or Stockholm. The sun goes down. It goes down, but it never gets dark. It doesn't get dark. Someone just literally before I left work today, Mamish, on the phone, someone's going to be in Reykjavik next week. They're going to be in Reykjavik, Iceland, not Tisha B'Av, Baruch Hashem. They're there on Wednesday. So we went to exactly how to daven Ma'ariv. The sun's going to go down. It's not going to get so dark. You can daven Ma'ariv at Plaga Mincha if you have to. You can daven better after Shkia. There's no Tzeis HaKacham. The sun goes down. And at what's considered Chatzos HaLaila, the darkest part of the night, right? I told them that it's going to be, it's not in Reykjavik on Wednesday. At Chatzos HaLaila, it's going to be as dark as it gets where you are, where this person was about 32 minutes after Shkia. And then it starts to get light again, right? So I told him, say Kriya Shema, get a Dav Mariv, and go to sleep. Then before Chatzos HaLaila, when it's like 32 minutes after Shkia, it's the darkest it's going to get, say Kriya Shema again. That's your best you're going to do. And then, we had some other cheshbonos, but that's basically the cheshbon. So in Anchorage, on a tinus, and in Stockholm, you got to wait until Chatzos HaLaila, because that's the darkest part of the night, and that's really Alois HaShachar. So the day ends, and the next day begins. That's when Shabbos ends, that's when Tanesim are going to end. Again, there are all sorts of cheshbonos here, which we're not going to get into, but that's the basic halacha. Chatzos HaLaila, that's when the day ends. Zuck, this Rav in Stockholm that the Mikra Kodesh brings from the Sefer Eshkol a svar like this. Tanais is a little bit different than Shabbos. Shabbos is a chvashteh. Shabbos, you gotta wait till the darkest time. Tesek HaChavim, Alois HaShachar, and that's what you gotta wait for. However, he says a tainis, Kivin Shevishas HaChurban, V'kamamein Shonim Acharav, Baru Shalat Garu Yisrael B'kaitav HaTzvayni, Ujraini. No one lived. When were Tanesim started? When did we start fasting? By the Korban Bayis. And then it was Niskabel in Klal Yisrael over that Tkufa. But no one lived so far north. And therefore, the furthest, the longest time anybody fasted in that era was 9.5 hours after Chatzais. That was the latest. Okay, with daylight savings time, that would be about 10:30. Or so. Chatzai is about 1 o'clock. What is it? 1:07? So 10:37 is the latest anybody fasted. Because no one lived further. By the time of the Churban and afterwards, no one lived. In Cain, Kol Yisrael le'kiblu li'sanos yoyser mitesu mechsa achatzais. Tanesim or Kabbalah. We're makabal to fast. The Nevi'im speak about it. Then with the Churban by Yisrael, then the Mesamidus was rebuilt. Then it was destroyed again. So now it was a Kabbalah in Klal Yisrael to fast. Zoktis Rav in Stockholm. What was the Kabbalah? The Kabbalah was to fast. B'chol Tutzis Yisrael. What was the extent of Tutzis Yisrael? Well, only until areas so far north. No one was in Stockholm. No one was in Anchorage. No one was in Oslo. No one was in Petterburg. That was later. No one was in these places. So no one was ever Makabel. The Kabbalah was only to fast until 9.5 hours after Chatzos. Not to fast till 3:06 a.m. in Nome, Alaska. There was no one in Nome, Alaska. No one in Nome, Alaska now either. But someone could travel there. No, they were never Makabel to do that. And therefore, this Rav in Stockholm says, "Kivin de Berutz in Talia, Tanesim are Kachim Lalem Loyaiser." He says as well. He speaks about Mariv, etc. That's the svar. So they want to Shteltsu. Shemir Alevi brings this. We can say the same thing when you're traveling. Forget about north. You're traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Los Angeles, or from Eretz Yisrael to JFK. The Kabbalah Satinus within Klal Yisrael was to fast on a regular tinus a certain amount of hours. Shavuot Thomas to fast from 5 a.m. till 10:30 p.m. That was the extent of it. So how many hours is that? That's the extent. Oh, you're traveling in an oifen, the Shavuot Thomas. You're not going to have to fast 24 hours. No such thing. The longest tinus was, again, from let's say, 4 a.m. to 11 p.m. Right? It's easier cheshbon. How many hours is that? So you got 19 hours. That's it. That's the most Klal Yisrael ever makabel. You're boarding a plane that's from JFK to LAX that's going to make it fast 35 hours. There's no such thing. And on Shavuot Thomas, you're going to end up fasting 15 hours. You're going to fast 25 hours. No such thing. No way. We're never makabel to do such a thing. And therefore, as far as Shavuot Thomas, there's no such thing as more than 19 hours. So the svara is that a person, therefore, with that svara, one would only have to fast the 19-hour maximum until the 9.5 hours after Chatzos. And therefore, they want a taina like this. Zakra Maisha, and we're just saying that's the Chalak HaMaisha. Zakra Maisha, no. Ramaisha says no such svara. Ramaisha says about Varnet. The Shevet Alevi, the Chalak Zayin Simon Hayim Vav, says no. He's not maskim to this dvarav, the tzarech raya, behem kibul beratzayin, you need a raya to the svara, and they were umakabal, the fast atzei shekachavim, and therefore, that's the thing.
Would he call the, if you go east, do you have to wait longer?
No, because I think he's trying to only say the svara l'kula and not the svara l'kula and not l'chumra. In other words, if you live in Alaska, your day is going to be shorter in Frasar B'Tavis. So that we don't say, because we don't say the makabel minimum. We only say the makabel maximum. Now,
is there also a thing so you could take off after Shkia and then before Shkia? Is that possible?
Is there anything that you could go?
You're taking off after Shkia, and you're flying
back in only with the dateline, unless you're on a supersonic. In other words, which don't have it, we don't have a commercial flight. But we'll talk about the dateline in a minute. We're flying in and out of a fast. When they had the supersonic, technically, without crossing the dateline, you could go from London to New York, take up Nachtetainus, and land before Tzitzit Kachavim, before Shkia, because you were actually beating the sun. They don't have such flights anymore. They're commercial flights, they don't fly. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is what happens if you cross the date line.
What's the for the day, not for how many hours it is?
Exactly, right. No, but that's this Rob in Stockholm.
It could be only 19 hours. Like,
no, but his point is that the Kabbalah was when they were Makabal. What were they Makabal? They were Makabal maximum 19 hours. That's what they were Makabal. That's his Svarim. And a Hanami. In other words, that's what he's saying. That's what they did in Stockholm. In other words, in Stockholm, the sun was up at 11 o'clock at night, and they're 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, they said, no one was ever Makabal to pass 10:30. Or not even 9:30 without daylight savings time. That's it. So, again, Ramesha argues, we're just mentioning it, Lagotar Ladir. Ramesha doesn't bavar in this case, but obviously from his tshuva, he's going to argue on this, and the Shevet Alevi Beferish argues on it. The last thing I want to talk about is the dateline, which is a shir in its own right, but yet creates an unbelievable number of interesting shilas. What to do? The first shila is, if let's say you fly from Australia on a tinus and you go back a day. So, in other words, you're on the plane, it's Shavas Matamas, and not on a Sunday, and you take off, and you land, when you cross the line, they tell you it's a day earlier. Now, this Chulka day is where the line is, exactly. But let's, for argument's sake, let's say you crossed all the lines, so now there's no Shaila, you're already yesterday. So now, you started fasting, but now it's yesterday. So what do you do? So the Sefer Yisrael Vazmanim and Tarek Yisrael B'Shem Rav Scheinberg say, again, the same story we've been saying in Davening. You don't have to fast. If you took off Shavuos B'Tammuz, and now it's Tezayin Tammuz, so there's no tainus. You don't need to fast anymore. The Tarek Yisrael brings from Chaim Kanevsky, he had a back and forth with letters. Rav Chaim Kanevsky says that if you took off on a tainus from Australia, and you go back in time, you have to finish the tainus. His lashon is that you started the tainus, you were makabel the tainus, so to speak, even though you're not officially makabel, we're not makabel tainus seers, but by definition, there is a kabbalah satainus, and until it's dark, you're still in the tainus. You can't just snap out of the tainus. And there's another gemara which I saw also brought, called, the gemara says, called tainus l'shakal of chama lafshme tainus. And that Gemara is saying that if you don't have a Shkia, it's not called a Tainus. So here you have a fascinating scenario. We all end our Tainus with Shkia. Now, not literally Shkia here means when it gets dark. That's when we end it. So we'll be in Baltimore, and the Tainus starts, and the sun goes down, and it gets dark, and you go home and you eat. But here you have Echitimsa, where you flew back, or they have the similar case where you flew ahead. And that's like this. How did that happen? If you fly from, let's say you go from Los Angeles, you take off during the day. You fly from LA to Sydney, Australia, on the afternoon or in the morning. And now you're in the middle of tinus, And now, all of a sudden, it's tomorrow. Because when you fly westbound, you actually end up going to tomorrow. Someone sent me an email before Purim. The Shiloh was, they went from New York to Hong Kong, Cathay Pacific, flight 845. The flight left JFK Airport early Wednesday morning, 1 a.m. At 1 a.m. The Tinus Esther was Wednesday. So they took off before the Tinus. Several hours before Tinus. It's scheduled to land in Hong Kong on Purim morning. Scheduled to land Thursday morning in Hong Kong at around Alois HaShachar before 6 a.m. Okay? So now, basically what happened was the flight took off. As I told Dav Meir for Tuesday in New York, Wednesday morning, you're going to get a little window of opportunity for Shachas. Now, I want to interject here that these flights are very tricky. These flights are extremely tricky. Why? Because the flights that go from New York to the Far East, extremely long flights, sometimes change their mind and go east. And not west. When you fly normally to the Far East, you fly west over the dateline. However, if you go from New York to the Far East, okay, you're flying almost halfway around the world. By distance, it's quicker to go west. But as everybody knows, when you fly west, it takes longer. Because the tailwinds are flying east. When you fly from LA to New York, it's quicker than flying from New York to LA. Look at either you feel it when you go, or for homework, look at a flight schedule, and you'll see. Because, why is that? I'm talking about clock time. I'm talking about physical time. How long are you on the plane? Because when you fly west, the tailwinds are going against you. It takes longer. So these flights take off from New York, and they sometimes decide, you know what, the tailwinds are so strong going east, it's faster to fly eastbound, even though the distance is longer, than to fly westbound, because we're going to be going up against these winds. And therefore, the same flight, Amal goes east, Amal goes west. Someone a number of years, I think 2 or 3 years ago, asked me, Shalom, about Shavuot B'Tammuz. They were taking such a flight, and I gave them the whole cheshbon west, and the Shver comes over to me and says, guess what? After Tisha B'Av, he says, that flight flew east, and therefore that changes around some of the cheshbonos of when to David. Anyway, these people flew, they had a little window, possibly, of morning. They had no afternoon, Wednesday afternoon. All of a sudden, it was Purim, right? Because they crossed the day line. So even though they started the fast at Alois HaShachar as they were flying over Canada, but most consensus, the most opinions is that the time is going to end when they cross the date line, and therefore they're going to end the tinus in such a case.
Did I
miss the Megillah? No, so the ninth Megillah, I gave him exact instructions. I had to take a Megillah on the plane because they were landing in Hong Kong already in the morning. He said he was with his wife, so she would correct them. They took a Megillah on the plane, and it was dark. In other words, what happened was they took off and it was light a little bit morning, and then it got dark, and it was already Purim night. So they were able to break the fast. Now, more practically speaking, if a person flies, they should sometimes, let's say you took a red eye the night before a tinus. So the red eye, at some point on that flight, the fast is going to begin. So you need to make the cheshbonos, where is the tinus beginning? If you fly east, the fast is going to end at a certain point quicker. Even if you fly west, those are rough. But let's say you boarded a plane, someone called me Shavuot B'Tammuz, I think they had an afternoon flight. But if you go late enough on that plane, the flight is going to, at some point, it's going to take a while, but you have the ability to make these various cheshbonos in this case. Now, one other case. This story I always like to tell over. My uncle, Wolfgang Stark, once flew several times. His daughter, my cousin, Leah Shalom, lived in Australia. And he wanted to visit them. So he called up the airlines and he said, you know what? Give me the first frequent flyer ticket that you have for the summer when I finish school. He was a Rebbe. Give me the first ticket. They said, okay, sir, we'll give you Monday night. There's a flight Monday night, LAX, 10:30 at night. It lands on Wednesday morning. Let's say you take off Monday night, July the 9th, and you're going to land on Wednesday morning, July the 11th. Perfect. No Shabbos. No problem. Kavaldik. He books the ticket. A few weeks later, he looks and he sees that Tuesday, July the 10th, is Shavuot B'Tammuz. Okay, now let's analyze his flight. He's taking off Leil Tainis. He's taking off Monday night from L.A. Everybody in L.A. is busy eating, getting ready for the fast. It's a long day. Everybody's eating. He boards the plane, and the plane ride is dark for Kamat the entire flight. And then he goes from Monday night, all of a sudden it's now Tuesday night, Masei Tainis. So like that, he's going from Erev the Tainis, Leil the Tainis, to Masei Tainis. And therefore he would not experience, except according to Chazon Ish, maybe an hour before he lands, when the sun comes up. But other than that, and if the flight was running early, it lands in it's the winter time, so in Sydney it's a late night. Alois, if he lands before Alois HaShankar, he had no tinnitus. He was putzer from fasting. Why? Because there was no Tuesday. He did not experience Tuesday day. He took off Monday night, land Wednesday morning, experienced Monday night and Tuesday night. And that's it. And therefore, in such a case, in Azal Oifin, the halacha is, he would be putter. So finally, somebody actually told me they have a flight, that they're flying on this tinnitus. American Airlines flight 8481. Departs Dallas, Fort Worth on Sunday at 11:50 in the morning. Arrives in Tokyo at 3:05 p.m. the next day. Okay, so when they take off from Dallas at about noon, it's a tinnitus. Now in the summertime, when you go north, the sun is up. And I looked at this flight, several flights, and basically it ends up flying over the Aleutian Islands, which is a suffix what day it is. But Pashtus, it would seem to me, at least most Aleutian Islands are going to be the same day as ours, which means it's still Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. They end up actually flying Kemat over Attu, which is the western tip of Aleutian Islands, where technically it's still Sunday, in theory. Now again, Chulkadeus. But I said you got to fast all the way there, maybe a couple hours before you land. It's going to be the end of the times according to Roiv opinions, and you'll be able to eat at that point, because at that point it's going to be Monday. So again, when booking that cheap flight, you want to make sure that, especially around the tinnitus, you always want to make sure that it's a flight that's going to work out and not have a problem with your fasting.